From The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. Oh, monsters are scared, said Letty. That's why they're monsters.
Welcome back to the Reading Room Ruffians, your favorite library podcast. It's me, Mallory, hunter of monsters, devourer of evil. I'm joined by my BFF, Ariel, also a hunter of monsters and the bane of evil's existence.
Run, run, my little rabbits.
Our supreme overlord, Carla, has returned to business as usual, which is just to oversee our chaos.
It gets harder every day.
We are recording from our library in Jackson County, West Virginia. Zach, Evil's Nightmare, is recording in Seattle, Washington.
You know, there's a reason why it's called Sleepless in Seattle. The monsters can't sleep. Because I'm there.
That was great.
In case you didn't guess, we are discussing Monsters, A Fan's Dilemma by Claire Dederer today. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Dederer.
Fan's Dederer.
Well, she's Dederer than she was, right? She's older now.
On fire today. Before we get started, MiniCon is coming up on April 6th from 12 to 6 p.m. Did you forget that? Because if you did, no, you didn't. We had our MiniCon meeting this morning and, MiniCon meeting. Okay. MiniCon meeting. And we get to go over a lot of stuff that we're doing. I didn't realize, Carla, you had picked so much to do.
Hey, I'm on schedule pretty much.
I didn't know that
because
she's so much.
Handed it out to everybody. Y'all better come to MiniCon though, because I legit had a breakdown and cried yesterday over this.
She did. If you don't come to MiniCon, we're gonna
I'll cry more.
I mean, I have things in line in case I get done in time. I could do more.
We'll consider you evil. That means you're in trouble.
We're coming for you.
Bring it on.
So I'm going to mention Spice Club again. If you haven't heard of Spice Club yet, we started this new thing in January where every month we feature a new spice that you can pick up at either library location. And you can come in, pick up a little packet that has, I don't know, a couple of servings of the spice in it. And it has four recipes that you can choose to make one or a couple of them. And then you turn it in with your thoughts on what you thought of the dish and the spice. And we meet up every couple of months to have like a little potluck for everybody that participates. So it's been pretty fun. We did juniper berries in January, which is kind of funny now that I say it like that. And then for February, we did curry, which was delicious. And this month we are doing coriander, ground coriander. Mm-hmm. And next month we're doing like an herb we can grow, right?
Right.
I'm excited for that. That's pretty cool. Might have to take some. So then we are going to go into Toddler Storytime, which is still happening on Mondays until April 1st in Ripley. You can still sign up. I think we have a couple of spots and time slots open, and you'll just have a couple of Mondays left. I think maybe one or two by the time you guys get this, which leads me into Ravenswood Story Hour with Miss Nicole. And that runs every Friday at 11 in March. So you'll, I think, have one more week of that. And then we're going to do in March on the 29th, Ripley's new adult programmer, Avery, will be hosting a 70s themed trivia night. And so if you think you've got the stuff of disco legends, you should definitely hop in and give us what you got. I know, me too. Ravenswood is having an Easter egg hunt on March 29th at 4 p.m. They also thought that the kids would not be in school on Good Friday, and that is not correct. So, yeah, they moved it from 2 to 4 p.m. on March 29th. Every Tuesday in Ravenswood, we have Teen Tuesday at 5 p.m., so you can send your teenagers there if you need an afternoon away from them. It's a nice, fun atmosphere for them. It's safe. It's welcoming. It's also just a place to be and not have to worry about living up to something. So, you know, we're always a good place for that. Just FYI. We also have Taboo, which is our teen program in Ripley, every Wednesday at 4. So those are your options for everybody who likes to say there's nothing in this county to do. Yes, there is. It's here.
It's always here.
And my kids club is always accepting new kiddos ages 5 to 10. So you can sign up. And that way I know how much to prep whenever we do our programs. You can find information for all of that and more on our library's Facebook page at facebook.com/WVJCO Library. You should also follow us on TikTok and Instagram at WVJCO Library. For more Reading Room Ruffians fun, you can search up our Facebook group at Reading Room Ruffians Podcast, as well as our Instagram page, which is at Reading Room Ruffians. Check out our podcast Goodreads page, which we have linked in all of our episode descriptions, along with our personal Goodreads pages. All right, Zach, do you want to lead us off?
Okay, so this is my nonfiction pick. It's called Monsters, A Fan's Dilemma by Claire Dieterer, as we said before, not Dieterer. And the whole premise of the book, I thought at least, was that she's doing a sort of like a discussion of whether or not you can like the art and hate the artist, or basically if you have an artist who has done something bad or has some bad history, does that ruin the art? Let's see here. There is, I'll just go ahead and read the little Goodreads description here. In this unflinching, deeply personal book that expands on her instantly viral Paris Review essay, What Do We Do with the Art of Monstrous Men? Claire Dieterer asks, can we love the work of Hemingway, Polanski, is it Naipaul? I've never heard of this guy. I don't even remember him being in the book, actually. Miles Davis or Picasso, should we love it? Does genius deserve special dispensation? Is male monstrosity the same as female monstrosity? Does art have a mandate to depict the darker elements of the psyche, et cetera, et cetera? Basically, she goes over those sorts of questions in theory. But I don't know. What do we think about this book? My personal opinion, as a general overarching thing, was that she did not go very deeply into any of this stuff.
No.
And she could have had a better discussion with it, but it ended up being a lot more like a memoir type thing instead of an actual discussion of this topic.
I thought it was more of a rant than a memoir.
It really kind of is. It's, she said it was supposed to be a memoir from the audience's point of view and not the artist, which is fine, I guess, but it really wasn't much of an audience point of view as it was just really hers.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it was all personal, very, very personal to her. And before we get started, I want to let everyone know that I thought this subject was something entirely different. I thought it was whether we could like the bad guys in the art, you know, the movies and stuff, like whether it's okay to, you know, really like Darth Vader or something.
Yeah.
So I was totally taken off guard. Yeah.
Mallory, what did you think it was? Because I thought that was even funnier.
What did I say it was? It was something like cryptids or like, yeah. Something like, I don't really know, like
real
movie monsters or something. I don't know. It's like, I think mostly because of the cover, it's just like really weird. This person is standing on it and they have like a cow head or something on. Like, I was just thinking something weird like that. Not at all. Not at all was what I was thinking, which is usually why I read a summary.
Gross.
Yeah, I really was underwhelmed by this book. I think the discussion points are great and it's a great topic to discuss, but I don't think it was really done justice in this book. And I personally feel like either I didn't understand why she was saying what she was saying or she doesn't know what she's saying. Like,
I mean, that may have been part of it, but it starts out one thing. And from my opinion, mm-hmm. she started justifying why she liked these things as mm-hmm. she got towards the end of it. It's like, and it was a lot of personal, very personal reactions to some of this stuff. And she related it back to her own personal experiences. So I don't think it was as like all encompassing of an audience as it was just her mm-hmm. and her insecurities and her traumas and how she related to it and how she justified liking like the movie, but not the person that wrote the movie or the artist or whatever.
Yeah, she kept talking about, at least she brought this up a few times in the thing, was She was hiding behind the we, like the general mm-hmm. we as mm-hmm. as like the whole audience, but really she was talking about herself in all of these things. That's the reason why I said it was more like a memoir, because it's more just her stuff. Like, because mm-hmm. I don't think that most of this... Oh, okay. So a lot of it doesn't apply to like the modern era. And she used all a bunch of stuff from like the, I don't know, just older things. Like, I don't know very many people who aren't either like hardcore movie buffs or are just older who know a good chunk of these people, you know, like Woody Allen or, I mean, everybody knows Picasso as a name, but nobody... Like, I mean, mm-hmm. people know nowadays that he's kind of awful, but there wasn't this, like, ambiguity back in the day or whatever. It wasn't stuff emerging. Everybody knows this. People have formed opinions about it nowadays. And it's not like she started writing this book recently. I mean, like, a long time ago. It was fairly recent, too. It was, like, 2018 when she started.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't, like, some big thing that she's, like, been holding around for a long time. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, 5 years. No. But whatever. Came out last year, so.
Yeah, because she talked the most about, like, how everything went beforehand, and then, like, once we were, like, in COVID lockdown and, like, the Me Too movement happened, like, during 2020. So, I mean, it did kind of all happen fast, but I kind of find it odd that, I don't know, I have weird mixed feelings about this. Like, I think it's a personal choice, and I don't know personally, like, for instance, J.K. Rowling. I don't really like consuming any of the Harry Potter stuff anymore. Like, I still have a soft spot for it, but I really don't want anything new from Harry Potter. Like, I'm kind of over it now, which sucks because that was like my whole childhood. But like, I don't hate people for like not listening to it or consuming it.
Yeah, because her work was really good.
Yeah.
You know, but her as a person,
yeah,
is not good. She's a little crazy.
She's been crazy from the beginning.
Yeah,
but she produced a phenomenal. Yeah,
I mean, it's a great world to escape in, and it's been, I don't know, a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and she only really recently started coming out with all this stuff as being a lot more public. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
and I don't know how much of it's her just trying to keep her name in the public.
I mean, possibly.
I think she's crazy.
I think
she's been crazy from the beginning.
But the coming out with things and being more blatant with stuff and like when she made Dumbledore gay. I think that was just spite. To keep her name.
You think
there.
It was spite?
I think it was spite. And just I think in that case to keep herself relevant. But I think the more problematic stuff recently has been like, you know, way worse.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
I don't know what she's done recently.
Oh, it's all the TERF stuff. Like, she's a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. That's what TERF stands for. But she's been pretty awful.
Yeah. But I think the other thing I really didn't agree with in this book was all of these men that she talked about were legitimately gross, creepy men. They were abusive. They were drunks. They were, you know, anything and everything. And then the only few women that she talked about were not good conventional mothers. How dare women want to be moms and artists or just artists? God forbid.
Ooh, how dare we?
Yeah, right. I like it was weird because she talked about these things and was like, well, why are we talking like this? And then she went on to be like, well, you know, why can't we just do this? Like, I want to sit in my room and write. Men can do it as parents and nobody bats an eye. You know, I feel guilty going on a trip to write for my kid, like, because I'm leaving my kids, yada, yada, yada. But then she talks about how she sees or how, I guess, I don't know, is it how she sees them or anyway, how she sees these women as awful monsters because one gave up her child at birth because she didn't want to be a mom. And another one left her husband, an abusive husband, and left two kids with her parents and took her baby with her. And she was an awful monster for that, like leaving her children in care when she knew that she couldn't afford all of them. I mean,
it's better than leaving the kids with the abusive husband.
I don't know.
If they're taken care of, I don't know.
I think she's very judgmental. period.
Oh, God, yeah.
And she's so worried about giving up her feminism card.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if I do this, am I still... Which, feminism had a place. I don't think is quite... I think it's went too radical. Because you don't have to hate a whole... half the population.
Yeah.
To believe that women have the right to equal opportunities.
Yeah.
And to be judged equally. You don't have to hate the guy. There's a lot of really good guys out there. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to hate everybody because there's a couple bad guys. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, you can be a feminist and still want to take care of your family, including your husband.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Feminism has become radicalized to other people because that's what they see in the media. But like, real feminism is empowering women. You can do whatever you want. You're not a monster for not wanting kids or for giving your kids up for adoption or signing your rights away. Like, it's, and if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, do it. I love you for that. Like,
yeah,
I don't. And I think the fact that people think that whenever they say I'm a feminist or you're a feminist is like, is that an insult? I don't understand.
It's kind of getting to the point where it is.
Because the radical has taken over. Yeah.
Which is insane.
That's with everything right now.
Yeah,
we have moved to a radical, almost everything.
It's like
you can't
so
look at
extreme.
Things from both sides. You can't see the good because all you can look at is the bad.
Yeah. And I did get that point. I mean, that was a good point. Like, and I think that's why I don't really want to consume J.K. Rowling stuff anymore. Like, I can't look at her work and be like, man, and not think about everything that she's doing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get that.
I can separate the art from the artist because that was a world that took on a life of its own. And she just happened to be the one to put it down. But I've always thought she's crazy.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I don't think anybody's wrong if they are able to separate that. Like, I think it's kind of wild that we have to pick a side. I think that's also what was weird to me. Like, it couldn't be just like, well, I feel differently about different people. I don't know, though.
No, she didn't really go into any of this nuance at all. And also, there's a thing about specifically with J.K. Rowling, just because, like, okay, so for one thing, she barely touched on her in the book, even though I think that she's a lot more relevant than most of the people that she actually did talk about.
Yeah.
You know, like, Picasso was very revolutionary at his time, and he was a dirtbag. But nowadays, people don't care, right? I mean, not nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
But for J.K. Rowling, she's still alive. So this becomes a lot more relevant because when you consume, well, even if you don't just consume her content, if you like, watch the movies again on streaming, or you purchase, there's the stuff with the new game that just came out. You're still supporting her monetarily, which makes it a lot different than, you know, going to a museum and looking at a painting, because Pablo Picasso is dead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing, it doesn't matter at that point whether or not you're consuming his media, where it does in this one in a more real sense. I mean, yes, she's a billionaire, so you in particular doing anything doesn't matter. She's never going to run out of money at this point, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, still, there's more of a nuance here and more of a relevance to the modern day stuff than this past stuff. I mean,
should you deny yourself that world just to make a point?
I think that really just depends
on the person.
Yeah, I think it's a very personal thing. And like, I don't think you should have to.
I mean,
and if you want to, you should.
I don't, like, I still rewatch the movies. And I mean, I have a Slytherin purse that I absolutely love. And I got the game when it came out. But I also don't like her as a person.
No, I mean, you disavow everything she says and does because she's being awful, you know, which is good.
But I don't want to let her just, you know, take that from me.
I should have looked that up. I don't know what. Yeah, that's what it is. You're giving up something you love because of someone else's behavior.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not realistic, especially in the modern day. Like, sure, you can do this for J.K. Rowling, whatever.
Yeah.
A specific person. But like, think about all the awful stuff that a lot of these tech giants do nowadays. And
it's like Jeff Bezos. We don't like him, but I still use Amazon like crazy.
Because it's unrealistic to expect somebody who doesn't have extreme means to be able to, like, you know, just stop using these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make their life more difficult. It's just not realistic to think that people are going to do that in any, like, you know, large amount.
No, I don't think it should be expected that everybody do that for anybody that's bad. Because everybody at this point is bad. Like, it's just, we just know, like, people suck.
But people do suck, yeah. It's an issue.
Yeah, it is an issue. And I think it's one that people need to think about personally. Like, I don't think we should look at other people and say, well, I think you're silly for doing that. Like, I don't know. I don't really. And my other thing is, has anybody actually been canceled? Like, what is canceling? They don't make any more money. They don't have any more appearances. Like, I don't think that that's the case. And anything that anybody wants to say is cancel culture.
It has. People have been canceled. I mean, it's like, it's not super famous people.
Yeah.
It's more average people that get.
That's fair, I guess.
They get like, oh, you know, you're horrible. You know, we're not going to do anything, whether it's true or not. It's this radicalized stuff that I'm going to say, like, whether it's the left or the right or whatever.
Yeah.
They will go out of their way to demonize people.
Yeah.
Because they don't agree with them.
I think I'm just thinking, I guess, since we were just talking about famous people in this, that was really, because I don't. There's backlash, but I mean, all of those people are still making money. Like, there's been Morgan Wallen.
Any media is good media.
Yeah. And there's, you know, J.K. Rowling. There's who is the, I don't know, there have been like five or six like actors and actresses. And like, you would think that they're canceled, but I mean, they're really not.
No.
Like,
no, and they keep, like, showing up in other, like, places. When, yeah.
Yeah.
They might, like, lose their say, current you know, role.
You can hate me, but you're still thinking about me.
Yeah.
And that's good. If you're famous, it doesn't. It's not really.
Yeah.
But if you're not famous, the cancel culture is a real thing.
And I think that's like a good point for this discussion is, like, what is the difference? Why? I think one of the reasons I wasn't this big of a fan of the book is loving someone and or their art, excusing someone. Are they the same thing? I don't think so. Like, we can still love somebody's art, but hold them responsible for their actions and words. But I also, like, do you actually love somebody that you don't know? Like, I can say, oh, man.
You can love that person.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I love him, but I don't actually know him. And not that I think he ever would turn out to be a trash person, but if he would, man, that would hurt me. But don't know what I would do. Like,
a lot more nowadays, you have this sort of, I think she discusses it a little bit in the book, about the parasocial relationships that some people develop.
Yes.
You know, I've got like some of that vibes with some of the podcasts I listen to. There's a group called, it's the Scary Game Squad, right? I hear the same guys in a bunch of these different podcasts, and I've been listening to them for so long, they feel like my buddies. I did actually meet them once, but, you know, is that a different thing? But still, they just feel like, you know, my friends, even though I've only met them that one time briefly, and it was in, like, you know, a crowded room with a bunch of other people. Sure, we talked a little bit, but it's not the same thing, you know? But you still feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of get that with Michael Sheen and David Tennant.
Oh, yeah, like, there you go. Exactly.
I'm not big on celebrities. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they're doing. I don't follow anybody. But those two, I love them so much.
Yeah.
And I would lay down my life for this too.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think equating art and artists or celebrities versus real life people is kind of silly. Like she said, well, if we can do this to people that we know and love in real life, why can't we do it for artists? And it's like, you don't actually know that person personally. You haven't known them for X amount of years. You haven't had discussions with them. Like, I don't think equating those is the correct thing to do. And I don't think that calling a woman a monster for not being a mom is equitable to calling men monsters for actually being monsters, like rapists and murderers. And I kind of was really disappointed in that. Like, there definitely are women who are monsters.
Oh, yeah.
And so why wouldn't we talk about, I don't know.
Talk about them instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is an issue with the book in general. That she talks about all these monstrous men, right? And then she does do the thing with, like, oh, well, in society, the only monstrous women are ones who abandon their children, right? And it's like, no, I don't think that's the case, lady, because I think it's your opinion, maybe, or what you think other people's opinion is, but that is not the case.
Yeah.
You know? And it just came across as like, it was like she's out of touch, I guess, with reality. or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty. She even mentions other people who are monstrous in the book and just doesn't mm-hmm. talk about them in the same sense. Like, for example, there's that like lady who was like in love with Hitler. I mean, awful, awful person.
Yeah, but she wasn't a monster.
Wait, was she just in love with Hitler? Was that her only...
No, she like had him over to her house, praised him for doing all really and well against the Jews and stuff.
Oh, okay.
She used to call him Uncle Wolf, which was the really weird That's part gross. About it. Like, she was obviously a child and gross. Then like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I didn't read this book, so...
It's got a lot of really interesting talking points in it. I just That's really true. Feel like...
After hearing you talk about some of it while you were reading, I was like, there is no way I could read this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's an aggravating book.
It really is aggravating. I feel like this could have been done so much better, and maybe that's why she left it like this, so that people can actually discuss it.
I don't think so.
But I don't, I don't really feel like she did either. It just is, it's disappointing. I was very, very severely underwhelmed.
I think she spends a lot of time blaming society or men in general for her feelings of inadequacy.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, totally. It comes across that way
in,
at least.
In some aspects that could be true, like why women are seen as monsters for not being moms.
No, I mean, just but like I can't be a critic because I'm female.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like it was for very basic level stuff.
In some ways I think that might be a fair point, because a lot of situations that women come into are like a man's world first. And so, I don't know.
But it doesn't
make But I don't think it's like the whole It I don't doesn't think make
you
thing.
You shouldn't feel inadequate in yourself.
Right.
You should be angry with the situation, not
I agree.
It's like, I can do this too.
And that was my other thing. Having emotions was weak and or feminine.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is something that was probably, or at least perceived as, a lot more true back in the day.
Yeah.
And not nowadays, or at least not as much nowadays, maybe in the circles that she runs in.
Have we met some of the men that have emotions?
I don't know.
But it's like,
I know there's guys out there that like shut all of them down and they're like, oh, I'm so manly, I don't have emotions.
Yeah.
But like nowadays.
No, the toxic masculinity still does exist.
And
it's especially true in people who are Gen X or older, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The millennials, we're a lot more in touch with our emotions, but
mm-hmm. I grew up with this. I mean, I grew up with these, like, well, I can't say that word,
but heads.
Unpleasant men, that were like, oh, women are good for one thing and one thing only. Mm-hmm.
It's at least two things.
Wow, get out.
You're treading some dangerous water there, Zach.
But it's like, so
hey, getting canceled now?
I mean, I get that, and I most women at one point in their life have been groped or molested.
Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm pretty sure every woman knows. Yeah. Every woman that you know in your life has had this happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what right does that, and how many men have been?
It happens to men too. Absolutely.
But it goes severely underreported. Yeah.
Which is real weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it happens as often.
And it's not as
I don't think it's perceived the same way.
It
does happen as often.
It doesn't happen as often, but it's also reported less.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a male victim, a woman hurting a man.
I mean, molested, like sexually, she talked in the thing.
No, I just mean like anything like that.
It's like, you're not a man if your wife beat you up.
Yeah.
So like, why would you say
that? Why would you talk about it? Yeah. I think part of this whole situation, and maybe that's why there aren't as many. No, there are. Never mind. But I can't say enough how underwhelmed I am. I really wish she would have talked about a lot of these things more. Especially if she was going to call this a memoir from the audience.
Yeah.
It was a rant. It was a personal rant.
It was definitely more of a personal rant. And I mean, it's the stuff that she did focus on, the people she focused on in particular, mm-hmm. were obviously just very personal to her. Like, for example, the Woody Allen stuff,
mm-hmm.
where he's got, objectively, the fact that he got with his, it was Woody Allen, right? Who got with his girlfriend's daughter? Yes.
Yeah.
It is weird. She was an adult, though, at that time. And then they've been together for like 30 years now, right? Married for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, as far as relationships go, not the worst thing. It's weird, right? And then there's the allegations of...
creepy.
No, it is kind of creepy, gross. But like to put him on the same level as these other people.
The guy that raped the child. It's like, yeah,
like,
no.
This is not, it's not the same sort of thing. I mean, there are other allegations against Woody Allen, but I don't think that those have gone anywhere or been proven or most people believe. I don't think. But that's the thing. It's like, why are you focusing in on this guy? It's because it's personal to her, because she had somebody else who's in, like, she had a father figure who was not her mom's, who was not her father, right?
Yeah, it was like her mom's boyfriend.
Her mom's boyfriend. And she put herself in those shoes and was very offended by it. That's just, she said it felt like a personal attack against her or something.
And it was also because she felt a personal connection to him. She said that he was like her, like them, the collective them, like her and her friends.
Yeah.
And I think that was the other part that made it like really personal for her.
Yeah, it's just...
Which I understand. Yeah, I understand the personal, like, making it personal, because sometimes it does feel like that if you've made that connection with a celebrity or somebody, an artist. But also, I don't know why she would then turn around and like vilify other people for doing that. Like, specifically whenever she and her friend were talking about the whole Woody Allen situation, and her friend said that she felt like, or she was angry about something. She was she felt he was gross and creepy and all this stuff. And she said, well, those aren't really thoughts. Those are feelings. And feelings are weak and or feminine. And I'm like, what?
Man, yeah. You did not like that passage, did you?
I don't know about you. I really didn't. Because it's like, why? I just can't get over that. Because she has these feelings and then goes on to vilify other people for voicing those feelings.
Yeah, it is.
It just is like.
It is difficult to separate out what she thinks versus what she claims other people are thinking. Because there's no separation there. I think that she does think a lot of these things is what it feels like in the book.
Yeah, I agree. And then there were also a lot of things that you could tell, especially whenever she was talking about women monsters and being a woman artist and how she feels guilty a lot for wanting to work and, you know, having a husband that helps at home and yada, yada, yada. Like, she definitely got a little bit passionate about that. And that was like the only time I felt like she had any passion in this book. But then she turned, I mean, she still was turning around and calling these women monsters. So I'd like what it felt really hypocritical or like she just really didn't know how to talk about it. I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know how to
describe
that. She just
hates herself.
I mean, I feel like
I
she probably does.
Well, I mean, she does. Like, she does have that chapter called Am I a Monster? But also, in general, I didn't understand her whole argument about not being able to, or about the abandoning their children or whatever when she's an artist or this, because when it comes down to it, I mean, art is, I guess it is something, it can evoke these emotional responses, but when you don't have the wealth or the time or whatever, it comes down to just being a job and you do your job. And she did, there's like no real excuse once your kids are especially in school, if you consider yourself to be an artist and you could just write, you know, while they're in school. Like, people deal with this all the time. This is, art is not some special thing that is above everything else that you could possibly do. Like, I mean, if you're working at McDonald's or you consider yourself an artist and you get paid for both of those things, then it's the same sort of thing. Everybody has these struggles. Mm-hmm. There's nothing unique or important about you being an artist that makes these solutions not relevant. You know, it's stupid and it's kind of self-aggrandizing. I don't know. It aggravated me.
Your thing where writing while they're in school. You could also, like, say you're a painter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Set some stuff out for your kids to paint. Mm-hmm. All paint together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do like, your art. There are solutions.
I was going to say there are solutions to this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, if your methodology for being an artist and doing all this art is to straight up shut out everybody else in your whole life in order to be able to create stuff, that's a personal problem. Mm-hmm. And maybe you should find something else to do or make different life choices at that point. Because...
Especially if you don't like the fact that you're shutting everybody else out. Like, if you're cool with that, by all means, you do you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't like it, make other choices.
Yeah. I feel like she kind of wants to emulate the monster she's talked about, not in doing the bad stuff, but in doing like not caring what other people think and doing your own thing and not having any responsibilities.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a good thing no matter who you are.
No.
No, she wants to be, she does that chapter on the genius, which, I mean, we can talk about that chapter in a second. It was awful. That
also, yeah.
Mm. She wants to be that so badly, it feels like. Yeah. She wants to be really the person can who can be just like, do whatever she wants and create her art and whatever and just not and have any consequences for her with it, you know?
Yeah.
I just...
No one should be like that.
No, that's what I would... Like, why are we allowing that still? Like, why can't... You've obviously noticed it, so why aren't we changing it? Like, you know, I just... And of course, it's only men who are geniuses in her opinion. And so, you know, able to get away with this stuff.
It's in society's opinion, quote unquote.
Well, she didn't. She didn't say anything about Georgia O'Keeffe, which was an incredibly famous artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Frida, for example.
I don't know who that is.
Right. I feel like Frida's a really good example who does other work in addition to her art and it's like very active and stuff. I would assume most people consider her kind of a genius, would they not? Or like
I also don't know who that is.
Mary Shelley? Frida's the
Frida Kahlo.
Frida
who?
Kahlo.
Oh, she does the paintings last name. I got it with the last name. That's her with the eyebrow. I got it with the last name. Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Yeah.
Or like her Mary Shelley
paintings.
The woman literally created science fiction as a genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think she was lauded quite as much while she was alive, but because the times were different.
Nowadays,
though, I mean.
But she did it in truly a man's world.
She did.
And she excelled.
Exactly.
And she did excel. Amazing.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I really feel like she just picked and chose things that she thought made her points or what she thought were her points. But I don't think that she put them together well.
No, I think she was just working on stuff in her own head. Yeah, this felt more like I'm struggling with these things. And here's my eventual conclusion, which is that you can make the excuses if you want to, if you care about them, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, no, she was very cherry picky about her stuff in order to convince. It felt like she was a lot more convincing herself than the reader, which is disappointing. Yeah. Like when you get to the end of a book and you know the subject matter like this one, and you feel like, man, I could have written a better book about this than she did.
Yeah.
Or than he did, the author, whoever it is, then that's not great. You know, I do genuinely think that if I sat down for, 5 years and wanted to write a really good book about all the nuance of whether or not you should be able to like the art and hate the artist, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah, see, I guess I didn't realize that she had started this book so long ago. Like, I really thought it was just like from 2019 and on. Well, I mean, which is still like 2018.
It's five or 6 years. Yeah, I mean, four or 5 years. Yeah, like that's too long to be doing this, especially
more disappointing.
If you are a writer, I don't actually know what else she produces. She did that essay, right? And then she started working on this book. And I assume she did stuff in the meantime.
Didn't,
like, in order to make money, mooching off her husband, who she never mentions.
Coming from someone who didn't read this book, from what I can gather, is that this lady hates herself, wanted to work out stuff in her head, and use society as a scapegoat to hide behind.
She's also 57, so maybe. I don't know.
The whole time she talked about, you know, being authoritative and saying, you know, this is the best of anything. And she felt weird about that. I think she doesn't have the self-confidence. But in 5 years, this should have been a more technical, scientific, this is the facts type book, or a more authoritative book.
And it really should
take
have,
a stand.
Yeah.
Or be scientific.
Yeah.
One of the two.
And it should have been way more encompassing.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of better examples. Especially relevantly, that would have made more of an impact than
what
she chose.
The issue is those aren't people that she cared about or the person that affected
her.
Is,
Yeah. It, like I said, it was a personal rant.
Yeah. And not what she wanted it. Well, what she said she wanted it to be, which was from the audience in general. Because if you were going to do that, there would have been way more people in this book that were way more relevant.
Yeah. I don't know, like, she didn't even seem I know we're just kind of ranting on this book a little bit, but I mean, she didn't seem that well informed about the people that she was even writing about. I know she's got at the end of the book, like this huge long list. The physical copy has a huge long list of citations in the back, or at least relevant work or referenced work or something like that.
Yeah.
But she can't have read any of that stuff. It sounds like she watched like maybe a documentary or something like that on some of these people and just wrote that stuff because it informed her opinion of it. You know?
Yeah, I don't really consume a whole lot of art like she apparently does. And so like have I ever seen a lot of Woody Allen? Not until later. I don't think I've seen any like old Woody Allen works, just like maybe one or two recent ones. And I felt like they were movies. I don't really get the hype, but I don't really know if it's any different than it was. It's like, I know Picasso's work, but I never was really like super moved by it because
I thought it was stupid. I thought he was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think he was. And, you know, Ernest Hemingway, everybody has a lot of hype for him. And like, did he write stuff well? Sure.
I mean, his prose is excellent.
But it's, yeah. But I just,
they're not that great of stories. I didn't think. Yeah. I mean, The Old Man and the Sea was okay.
Oh, man. Get Avery in here on that one.
Does she hate him?
Oh, she hates that story.
The Old Man in the Sea?
Yes.
I mean, it was okay.
She went on a rant about that. She said the only reason it's important is because no one had wrote anything like it before. It is not a good story.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true of a lot of things.
I mean, that's just, she hates it.
No, he had six toes cats, so I'm kind of cool with that. That's it.
But yeah, he was not a good man.
No, never.
And on top of that, it's just...
That great of an author, I didn't think.
No, he wrote to be a man's man. Even though, like, later in his life, she talked about how, really, he wrote some really wild things that were kind of, like, gender fluid and, like, explored gender identity, which was kind of weird. I didn't know that. And so... But
what stories?
I don't know. I can't remember now. I think I bookmarked it, but I returned it to Audible because I hated this book.
I didn't like it either.
I marked all this stuff and then was like, I need to get rid of this book now. And immediately regretted my decision.
I regret buying it. Yeah. I do. I mean, somebody else may find this incredibly fascinating and I get more out of it than I did. But I was just like, oh my God.
It's being lauded as being this amazing thing.
I think.
Yeah, well, so is ACOTAR.
I think it's a fine starting point for this discussion. I just don't think it's nearly what it's portrayed to be.
Right.
If you want a better discussion of a lot of this sort of stuff, you should check out, there's some YouTubers who do great stuff on it. There's ContraPoints, who did a great thing on J.K. Rowling, and so did Sean, which is S-H-A-U-N, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two biggest ones, I think, just out there right now about that are well researched and nuanced and detailed. And it's just so much better. You can see there what this book could have been instead of what it was. And it's just a one person, one topic, you know?
Yeah.
And just so disappointing.
Yeah,
it was. I felt like I wasted time. It just made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had to endure this book.
Yeah, me too. It took me... I don't know.
It's got a 3.8 rating on Goodreads. And the, whatever, it says BBC Radio 4 Book of the Week. Funny, lively, and convivial?
Convivial?
Convivial.
Convivial.
I'm sorry. Funny?
Yeah, this doesn't sound like
I don't think I read the same book.
It says how rare and nourishing this sort of roaming thought is and what a joy to read.
What?
Megan Nolan from the Sunday Times. Megan, you are wrong.
Very wrong, Megan. Very wrong.
Megan, getting caught out, Megan.
It was funny.
We need to talk, man.
Funny.
Like,
is it funny because you didn't know what happened? Like, what was going on? Because same, there were a lot of times I was like, what? Like, okay.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, I missed
what
something.
A take.
Yeah. Oh, man. Somebody else. A passionate, provocative, and blisteringly smart interrogation of how we experience art in the age of #MeToo and whether we can separate an artist's work from their biography.
I mean, ostensibly, that's what it wants to be.
Yeah, that's what it. That's what she wants it to be, but that's not at all what it is.
See, this is a different bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's like there's the And I don't like to use this term because I think it's misused a lot. The intellectuals.
Yeah.
That are, it's like, but they're not speaking from a real experience or a real person.
Yeah.
When they, it's like, I don't know how they get this. I know. I'm sorry.
What? She said a bad word.
Oh, I missed
it. We got a bleeper.
I can't believe I missed that.
So now you know how I really feel about the book.
My brain focusing on reading right now.
Oh my God.
You
dang.
Should have heard the stuff that she was saying on the phone the other day. Oh, yeah. You got salty.
It would have been like bleep, 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 bleep.
Oh my God.
I just didn't like it. I thought she was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that there is a certain type of person who would love this book, and a lot of those people are generally the people. I suppose mostly it's going to be the people who feel sort of the same way as her about the subject.
Yeah,
I just in general, when I was reading this book, her hatred for men. That's the reason why I wanted you guys to read it too. I was like, please,
it was ridiculous.
Please, I need somebody else to read this. Because I'm going to come across as one of the men that she is talking about in this book if I don't get somebody else's opinion in here.
I mean, she was so mad that women were objectified, which they were, mm-hmm. and they 100%. Still are to an extent.
Yeah.
Even by women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
But she was so mad about that. And then to turn right around
and do it.
And I guess condemn all men as monsters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're doing the same thing, just in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like, listen to what you're doing. If it's wrong one way, it's wrong the other way. We need to really look at our
I felt
our
like
opinions
she did
and
a lot
our
of
feelings.
That.
And it's
she
like,
did a lot of pointing at things that are definitely wrong and then turned around and did something similar, if not like, you know, the opposite. But you know what I mean? Like she did a lot of circling back onto herself and basically disproving what she said earlier. And it's just kind of like, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but it really just feels like you're talking in circles so that everybody thinks you're right. And that's not how this works.
Yeah.
I don't think. Like,
but it got so bad. It got to the point where I was like, is she married? And how?
She is.
You know, I was surprised.
Yeah, she is. And she
I'm
has
like,
kids.
How did you ever have kids and if you like, have this much hatred?
Yeah, I don't know. Because that and that's the thing. I don't.
Maybe she didn't want to be a mother.
Her language too was very, very blunt.
It
maybe
was.
Say that. It's just
and I really feel like it was all
blunt.
Very intentional.
Yeah. How is she gonna feel if her children read this book?
I don't know.
How are her children gonna feel?
I don't know. See, I really don't get her. I really don't get it. And I went to her Twitter page because I was going to message her, but then I ended up hating this book so much. I was like, I better not because I'll say something
that.
And she'll be like, no, I'm not going to talk to you about this. Because I went to her in her Twitter page and somebody had reviewed the book with just a shining
review.
Moment.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh, finally, someone that gets what this book is supposed to be. I'm like, honey. You should have made sure that we all knew what it was.
Yeah,
like,
that's your
this
job.
Was your job. Like, I see what you were trying to do. You just didn't do it. Like, that's not my fault. That's your fault.
I bet you post the link to this podcast on our Twitter.
I might.
No, God, I won't, I'm not doing that. That's the word.
No way.
No, I won't. But it might have been cool to have her on just to... understand.
I feel like she would have civil.
Left.
I don't think.
Maybe.
She would have left.
Maybe. Especially with how wonderfully we're talking about it now.
Yeah, no, I
see,
thought about
it. And we would have been monsters.
But.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been.
Which I'm okay with.
Or she would have just made us feel or try to feel stupid. Like, I just feel like since we don't
We'd
agree. Yeah. Since we don't really agree, we must not be as smart as she is or capable of. Determining feelings from thoughts. That was another thing that me off. Sorry.
Beep. See, we're getting to the point where it's like it's hard to talk about because it you feel angry.
Yeah. And it's like if I
and this is why I didn't read the book
because
I wouldn't have been able to censor.
Essentially, if you have feelings, you're not thinking about things, which is totally not true.
Nope.
Like you don't just have feelings randomly. You don't like, I mean, well, I mean, if you have a mental imbalance, you probably, I mean, I get that. But also, you don't, typically, that's not how that happens. And it's just kind of weird that we have to sit and think critically and coldly about everything in order to be able to have some sort of informed opinion.
To be an intellectual.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think having emotions and feeling said emotions is what makes you human.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think if you're able to regulate and also share those feelings,
yeah,
makes you even more of an intellectual personally.
Yes. Because emotional intelligence,
yeah,
is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time that she put somebody down for having feelings about their thoughts or opinions, it was a discredit to them. And it's kind of like, why? Are you discrediting any of the monsters?
Because she's trying to be the male,
yeah,
that she hates.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I think this book said more about her than the subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they all are like that. They think for themselves. They care about themselves. And they're geniuses, so they get away with it. But it's like, you're trying to do the same exact thing and convince us that you don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can't recommend this one unless you really want to be mad.
Yeah. Find other books, yeah, and discussions about it.
There's probably better ones. I'm sure there are.
For sure.
Well, according to her, there's nothing that has been written about this. It's
according to her, there's a lot of things.
Yeah. I feel like that's fake.
Yeah. Also, the other thing is she said that there was nothing written about it that is well thought out, intellectual, or grounded in any sort of research or whatever. And she's
it's still the same.
Somebody needs to do this. I'll be the one to do it, I think is what she says at the beginning. And yeah, it still hasn't happened, obviously, like you guys just said.
No, still waiting.
I just, there's nothing in here of any real substantial, there's nothing substantially new. This is an old, she doesn't bring anything new to the table, I don't think, here. She just lists off these people, how she feels, and then there's no actual real discussion of the topic, or at least nothing new. You know, like this is in 10 minutes, you can come to the same conclusions that she comes to. And you don't need to go through all this other rigmarole about, how awful men are, how awful abandoning mothers are, et cetera, et cetera. It's not necessary. Mm-mm. for the topic. I don't know. It was a disappointing book.
Yes.
Actually, I've discussed this with other people as well. It was a Chantel's book club's thing at work, and we talked about it there. And it was the same sort of general sentiment, why is this book lauded also? Why is it like a big deal to everybody? I don't understand that either. So it's strange.
I think probably just because she really catered it to sound like for everyone on either side that she knew what she was talking about and they would agree with her, whichever side they were on about it. It was just so back and forth the whole time. And I think more than once I was like, I don't know why she is going back on herself. I feel like either I'm missing where she's drawing the line and switching to what she feels about it, or she just is saying it all.
My guess is people that really like this only saw the one side.
Mm-hmm.
They only agreed with her points. And they didn't read or listen to the whole book. They didn't see it as a whole. They just picked out the parts they liked. And it's like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst part is I was while I was reading this book, and once I started to get about halfway through, I was looking for, other people's opinions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find sections, if you look on Goodreads, there's plenty of people who have similar sorts of feelings as we do. But the vast majority of those writing about it, these book critics, don't feel that way. There's a few, but one of them's from The Guardian. I mean, I don't like The Guardian as a news source, but it's probably the best, real treatment of the book, It's just the worst. I just don't understand why so many of these book reviewers and whatnot for magazines and newspapers and stuff like it so much. And I think it's just got to be the right kind of people. People like her, I guess, is the main thing. Because she used to do these reviews and stuff like this. Critics.
Yeah.
Would like this book a lot. But the people who actually, I don't know.
Live in the real world.
Live in the real world. Just see that on its face, it's nonsense to some degree. And it's just a rant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to talk about with this one. Like, I was going to go through the chapters, but like the only, let's see here. Is there any real chapter that's worth going over? Not really, because we talked about the genius one a little bit, which like in her confines is that she claims everybody else has. I don't think it's true. Is nonsense about the whole how genius is treated. I mean, yes, it is treated differently, but like people still love Elon Musk, even though he's objectively a piece of garbage. He's and is lauded as a genius, even though he's a smart guy. He makes the dumbest decisions. He's also cuckoo bananas. Yeah. I don't like Elon Musk.
Yeah. I think the thing that made me the maddest about this book was like she brought up good points and handled them so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
This really is such a great discussion. Like, this is
it could be.
Such a good topic to talk about. But I don't know how I went into this book, like, with not very high standards anyway, because it was about cancel culture. And they got even, like, they even those got shattered.
Please let everyone know how many stars. How many stars did you give it?
I gave it 3 stars, but the further out I get from reading this book, I want to give it less.
I gave it three stars as well, but it's mostly because I did think that it was at least written, well, like the verbiage, the prose, the whatever you want to call it. The writing's good. The points are terrible.
I thought the writing was bad. I mean, I thought her use of some of the language was very base.
I mean, there is definitely sections of like, but there's also these
you need to use those words to make a point, but she used it as a favorite word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
I've been debating on lowering it down, honestly, since I've been talking about it more with other people as well.
I don't think I would have gave it 1 star.
Yeah.
I would have used that word and put idiot at the end of it. And that would have been my review.
Tell us how you really feel, Mama. Don't hold back.
I can't do it on air.
It's fine. We can bleep it.
Yeah, we'll bleep it.
Bleep it. Just one long bleep.
Redacted.
I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Oh, no.
It's broken.
What in the world was that? Is that a reference to something?
Yeah, it's like some TikTok or something.
Yeah, it was a TikTok thing.
Oh.
Okay, so our next episode, we will be doing a new book chat. Yay! Thank God I don't have to talk about this again.
It'll come up.
Probably. Then we're going to do Zach's deep dive, which is going to be on Dungeon Dragon. Okay. Dungeon Dragon? That's a new one.
Dungeon Crawler, Carl.
Dungeon Dragger. I can't even make fun of myself. This is horrible. Okay, Zach's deep dive is going to be Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. And then Ariel and I are going to bring you a Curiosities episode about the Mandela Effect. I think I'm actually pretty excited about that one. Then we will be discussing Ariel's nonfiction pick, which is Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. Kind of interested in this one. I have heard very mixed reviews on it, so maybe it'll end up like this one.
Could be. I don't know. It just sounded like it could either. Be good. Yeah, and it's a shorter one, so yeah. That's kind of why I picked it.
And then we will be doing Ariel's, deep dive choice. I think we're going to... That's undecided.
No, actually, I've decided.
Oh.
It's going to be the 5 people you meet in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. One. We did talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. And then we're going to have a book chat, which will be on my birthday. So that'll be a party, obviously. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's time for us to sign off. But before we go, only the best libraries have librarians who don't shush you. Unless you're Claire Dieterer.
I was getting ready to say the same thing.
Thank you.